Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 13, Text number 59, and we're going to do 60 as well because they're related so closely, and because of the 59 short purport. Sapadi evabita pasyan disho pasyat purastitam brindavanam janajivya drumakirnam samapriyam sapadevavitak pasyan disho pasyat purakstitam brindavanam jana jivya drumakirnam samapriyam sapadevavitak pasyan disho pasyat purakstitam Vrindavanam jana jibhya dhruma kirnam samapriyam sapadjeva vitak pasyan disho pasyat purakstitam Vrindavanam jana jibhya dhruma kirnam samapriyam Sapadjeva vidak pasyan Paiso pasyak purasthitam Vrindavanam jana jivya Jumakirnam samapriyam Sapadjeva vidak pasyan Ladies. Sapadi, immediately, eva, indeed, abhita, on all sides, pasyan, looking, disha, in the directions, apasyat, Lord Brahma saw, purastitam, situated in front of him, brindavanam, Vrindavan, jana ajiva dhruma kirnam, dance with trees which were the means of living for the inhabitants. Samapriyam, and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants, and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Please repeat. Then, looking in all directions, Lord Brahma immediately saw Vrindavan before him, filled with trees, which were the means of livelihood for the inhabitants, and which were equally pleasing in all seasons. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Jana jivya dhrima kirnam. Trees and vegetables are essential, and they give happiness all year round, in all seasons. That is the arrangement in Vrindavan. It is not that in one season the trees are pleasing, and in another season not pleasing. Rather, they are equally pleasing throughout the seasonal changes. Trees and vegetables provide the real means of livelihood recommended for everyone. Sarva kama dukamahi. Trees and vegetables, not industry, provide the real means of life. Text number 16. Of course, there's a lot to be said about 59, and we'll get back to that. It's really an incredible purport. Text number 60. Yatra naisarga durvaira sahasan nimrighadaya mitra nivajita vasa ruta rut tat tarsha karikam. Translation. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. Purport. The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, quote, come here and take a little milk, end of quote. Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, the forest. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtanagan and artana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy, everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No. That is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness by sadhana. One can come to this platform. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, quote, all the devotees here are very attractive in the service of Lord... I'm sorry, very active... attractive too... but very active in the service of Lord Krishna. And the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities. End of quote. That's incredible. This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harova Bhaktas Kuto Mahadguna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnani Timirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshunamnitam Jena Tasmai Sugiravirma Kum Kuro Deva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girat Kipada Mande Sigiram Diritam Shistitanishwaram Paramanana Madhavam. So, it's interesting to note that this is Srila Prabhupada writing at the latter stages of his life. These purports are so lucid. They're very clear. And again, when you consider a person who's going through some distress in the body, we all have experience, of course, when there's some ailment, how the mind seems to wander here and there, and hard to concentrate or be able to express ourselves even. So, but here, it's very interesting to note that although Srila Prabhupada is going through all of this challenge in his life, he's writing with such clarity. And he's speaking with such clarity. It's shining, actually. Another meaning of lucid is that it's clear, or that it's shining. And there's no doubt that the spiritual master, by his words, he opens the torchlight of knowledge. Opens our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So, Srila Prabhupada here is describing, as we heard very nicely yesterday, how important it is to rectify in this one birth everything and come to a permanent life. Because there is a permanent life. It is real. As Srila Prabhupada is describing here so nicely what is the real life. And that is Vrindavan. It's real life. And in Vrindavan, everything is important. It's not that it's just there. As we go along in our daily lives, we see so many things that we may not consider to be very important. There's some animals or bugs or trees and plants. Let's get rid of these things. They're in the way. That is the nature of modern society or present society, that there's no regard for those things which are all around us. But here, Srila Prabhupada is so very nicely describing how the trees and vegetables are essential. The trees and vegetables. There's no need for this other demoniac lifestyle, killing animals and torturing them by the millions daily. There's no need for that kind of life when nature is already providing very nicely, as Prabhupada quotes here, from the first canto that Sudha Goswami was describing to the sages, the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Right? Sarvakama, Dukhamahi, Kamam, Bhavarsha, Bharjanya. Everything was provided. There was no lacking. The clouds were showering water that people needed. The earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. There was no shortage. Nowadays, you see in the world, there's a shortage of everything. There's no water or too much. There's heat or too much, not enough. It's just topsy-turvy. And what to speak, the cows were providing so much milk with their fatty milk bags, who were in a very cheerful state. He very, very nicely describes how the cows were in a very cheerful state. And in such a state, they would soak the pastures, the grazing lands with their milk. So, of course, we don't find that in the world nowadays because, again, we're living in an envious world. Unfortunately, it's a very envious world. And Srila Prabhupada makes that a very nice point here throughout. But in Vrindavan, the arrangement is that everything is there year-round. It's not that one season the trees are pleasing and another season they're not so pleasing. No, they're providing shade, they're providing fruits and flowers. They're pious, in other words. And they're providing all of these basic necessities. We don't, which is of a great shortage in the world nowadays. There's so much impiety that the trees can't produce anything except a lot of leaves. And we're having that experience around here. A lot of leaves and sap, which are just fuel for burning. After some time, they burn up, they grow up, and they burn again. It's all around us. But no, this is not the condition in Vrindavan. And when we mean Vrindavan, we of course mean the spiritual abode. This is what's being described here, the transcendental of the abode of the Lord, where there's no anger, hunger, or thirst. But everything is there. The trees and vegetables Prabhupada describes here, not industry, provide the real means of life. Not nuts and bolts. Srila Prabhupada gives a famous lecture in describing how instead of fruits and flowers, we're making nuts and bolts and big rubber tires, which we throw off into some landfill and which blows up after some time and causes more toxic conditions. So, no, that's not the case in Vrindavan. Of course, sometimes we may, as Prabhupada makes point here, we may be afraid of a forest and do not wish to go there. Because sometimes the forest can be very dangerous. I was watching one video of two mountain cyclists, and they were, this took place in Europe just recently, they were cycling through on some trails, and the fellow in the back had one of those helmet cams so he could catch what his partner was doing and how he was riding. So there was some space between them, and they were motoring down the trail when all of a sudden, out of the blue, some big black bear jumped out and started chasing the first fella in his bicycle. And it's almost comical. The bear is just on his heels, and the fella, he's just trying to race back and forth, trying to get away from the bear, and he finally got away. And when the bear took off and went off in a different direction, they got together, and the guy was just frantic, how he had just about been caught by this bear. They're happily going down along a mountain trail, and then out of the blue comes a bear. But in another instance, the party was not so lucky. There were some joggers. There were about a good dozen joggers. And sometimes, you like to go through the mountains, and you do these mountain trails, and you like to jog through. Well, there was a group of joggers who were running along, happily enjoying the forest and the trail, when the last person was not keeping up with the party, so he was lagging behind a little bit, and a bear jumped out and caught the jogger and killed him. So sometimes we may be afraid of the forest. And the forest is sometimes dangerous, there's no doubt. We have some personal experience with that. We've been out camping a number of times and backpacking. Sometimes you go in the inner areas where there's not so many people, but there are animals. So a couple times we had the case where we were in our tent and the bear would come up and just slowly brush up against the tent just to let you know that he's there. And then would urinate on the side of the tent just to make you let you know what who's in charge here. Whose domain are you in? Fortunately, they would go off. But sometimes, it can be a very dangerous situation, as Prabhupada explains here. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods. Because in Vrindavan, everything is spiritual. The plants, the creepers, the trees, the birds, the insects, and of course the animals. They're as good as demigods. They're very pious living beings. And Srila Prabhupada makes a point here. They're as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Because again, in the material world, it's all about me, myself, and I. Mogasa moga karma go. Moga jnana vichetasa. Rakshasi masarim cha. Prakriti moning shrita. And because of that sort of attitude, there's never any peace in their lifetimes, in their lifestyles. Neither are they successful in any of their endeavors. So it's full of conflict. But in Vrindavan, it's described here that there's no envy. Even in the material world, Prabhupada points out that the forest animals, sometimes they live together and they go to drink. And they don't attack anyone. So there are those kinds of situations. Sometimes you see the documentaries about the savanna in Africa, how all of the animals they may have some water hole, and they all come there and they take their water, and then they go off. But as soon as this idea of sense gratification comes into the picture, envy develops and there's conflict. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. Only the aim is Krishna's satisfaction. The sadhus also sometimes they keep a supply of milk for the tigers. I don't know that this is still happening, that the sadhus are keeping cows and feeding them to the tigers, but Srila Prabhupada makes point here that this is happening. Envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. And that is the difference between the material world and Vrindavan. Because there everyone is happy and pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro. There, just as the six Goswamis were loudly chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing so nicely. So also, those who are the residents of Vrindavan are also dancing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Their only purpose is to please us, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada points out. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, man is happy, everyone. Because everyone wants to serve Krishna to whatever capacity they can. That is the wonderful aspect of Krishna consciousness, that to whatever capacity you can serve Krishna, that's accepted, and one can be happy. Of course, provided one is offering it with good and proper sincerity. Whatever work you, one can do, and just as here in the temple, we have so many services that are required. But whatever one can do, if it's done in the proper mentality, then one can be very happy. And that sense of envy is not there. Srila Prabhupada makes point that sometimes the monkeys in Vrindavan, they may appear to be envious, but and of course we have experience of how monkeys in Vrindavan can sometimes be. But in the spiritual world, we find that the Lord is feeding them. They have some special reciprocation with Him. Therefore, we can understand from that all living beings have some value. They all have some value. It's not that we look upon something or someone as lesser. No, that is material consciousness. In the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, everyone is of great importance. They have a special relationship with Krishna. They're engaged in some kind of service with Him, and He's deriving some satisfaction, and they're also deriving satisfaction by offering that service. But as Prabhupada points out here, this mentality cannot all of a sudden appear. But it has to be developed gradually over time by sadhana. It's important, so important, Prabhupada makes a point here. Then one can come to this platform. So it is attainable. Pure Krishna consciousness is attainable. We may sometimes think that, oh boy, this is such a struggle, I can't deal with this any longer. But by engaging in good and proper hearing and chanting, it is attainable. We have to have that faith. Another interesting point that Srila Prabhupada makes here is that in the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not feel appreciative. So sometimes the value of Krishna consciousness, and again, within our own minds, sometimes the value of Krishna consciousness may not be there. But the value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually develop. And will appreciate all of the wonderful things that are there within Krishna consciousness, whether it be association, whether it be hearing, chanting, reading, offering some kind of service to Krishna. Those services will gradually become more important in our lives, to the point where nothing else is important, where nothing else matters. I have no interest in dealing with this world. I have no interest in dealing with these things that I may previously have been associated with. There's no longer any interest there. There's no satisfaction there. It actually just causes a lot of pain. And it's all in the form of envy. Because envy is there, as Srila Prabhupada points out, when satisfaction, sense gratification, when this mentality of sense gratification enters. So as long as we have that, then there's, why is somebody over there having something in that, and I'm not? Or why is Krishna up there and I'm not? I was watching a film some time back. It's a very interesting film. It's all about, it's a mundane thing, but it was Bible related, and I was curious to see how it unfolded. But it's the movie about Noah. And it's an interesting presentation of how Cain, who, as if you know anything about a biblical history, killed his brother and was cast out. They were the sons of Adam and Eve. Is that correct? And he killed his brother and was cast out. And his whole life was spent in creating havoc, basically opposing the Creator. He would always address him as the Creator. So at the latter part of the film, he makes this challenge that you're causing everyone to die. I will also do the same thing. I can do anything you can do. And basically, of course, he was defeated. But this is the mentality in material life, that why is Krishna, why is God there and I'm here? I can be just like him. I can enjoy like him. And it's all because of envy. So that mentality is not there in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. That's not there. And again, it's something that has to be developed. And at some point, it will be appreciated, not only by us, but others, as Prabhupada points out here from this article from South Africa, how all the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna. And the results are obvious to see: happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities. As soon as we're, even the mundane person can recognize that as soon as the devotees are active in the service of Krishna, all of these wonderful things develop. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and development of all good qualities. Harova bhaktas kuto mahadguna. They're not hovering on some material plane, but instead all of their qualities are developing in a very nice way. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatiya kinchana. They're developing very nice godly qualities. And again, this is the nature of Vrindavan. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. So there's so much that can be said about Srila Prabhupada's purports, as we started out by saying that these purports are so lucid, they're so clear, and they're so full. Even at this latter stage of life, Srila Prabhupada was so focused. It has to be recognized how wonderful Srila Prabhupada was. What a wonderful, special personality he was. So, and are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for the nice class. You know, we hear that the Vrindavan on earth is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan.
You have to have the vision to see that. You have to have the eyes to see that.
Yes. So, yeah, how do we understand that? Because you say that it's saying in the verse that there's no envy in Vrindavan, but sometimes when you go to earthly Vrindavan, there's criminal activities and things going on of that nature?
Well, you have to. It's you have to see it. You have to see it in as. As an aberration. I don't have the vision to see how these things are planned by Krishna, but we can understand that whatever goes on Vrindavan is, even here in the material world, is an arrangement by Krishna for someone's advancement toward the spiritual world. So even it may again appear to us to be some kind of nefarious thing. It's inconceivable. I don't have an answer. Krishna's in control.
Thank you very much for the nice class, Prabhu. How can one, you know, develop faith in the process of this Krishna consciousness?
By association. Yeah, just stay close to those who are advanced in devotional service. And it'll happen gradually. By sadhana, Prabhupada pointed out. Just stay close. If you go off into the woods by yourself, it's not, you're asking for danger. If you go off in the woods, in the forest of material enjoyment, you're asking for danger. So you stay close, and you stay in good association. And when you have to go out into the forest, you stay in good association. And then when you're strong enough, like Srila Prabhupada, some great soul like that, and then you can go out into the forest and you're prepared to deal with the dangers. But if you're not, then best to stay in association. Stay close. Stay in the tent.
Thank you very much for
one more question. You mentioned that devotion, by performing devotional service, one becomes happy. But oftentimes I hear devotees say that, you know, they're bored, or I ask them how they're doing and they're just kind of,
then they have to examine their execution. Just examine what you're doing. Maybe you're not chanting well enough. Maybe you're not reading enough. You have to examine your own execution. It's just like if you're cooking a preparation and the preparation doesn't come out very good, it's not the fault of the flour and the sugar. Right? We don't blame the flour. Man, this flour is crummy. Or the sugar is crummy. You can, if you want to get away with it, want to avoid the real problem, and that is that you're not mixing it correctly. So you have to mix it correctly. If you mix the ingredients properly, then you have a wonderful product. So Prabhupada's given us a whole menu of things to do. You rise early, you chant, you keep yourself clean, inside and out. You engage in some regulated devotional service. You go out and preach, execute something, some devotional service. So there's a menu there. There's a whole a list of ingredients. So if you do that, then you'll have a good product. You have a very nice, wonderful cookie. I like cookies. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class that I got. It seems to be also that not only in Vrindavan, but anyone who's practicing devotional service is like on a higher level of behavior than the materialist.
Sure.
Because I had an experience last night. I was, you know, doing Harinam on the pier, and one of my friends came, and I was talking with her, and then this this materialistic person came. He was just out of jail. He had just come out of jail, you know, big, strong guy. His arms were about twice as big as mine. And you know, he was just all bright. And he was trying to pick up on this girl that I was talking to. And, you know, he was just so envious. He just saw me talking to the girl, and he just wanted to, like, snatch her for himself. And then I had to stop her. I had to take the girl home because, you know, she was afraid. And a materialist would have got all mad at the guy. But, you know, we being devotees, we just thought, wow, you know, we felt sorry for him and prayed for him. And so it seems like that just even being a devotee, you know, we're on a, like, higher level of consciousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I guess we could say that's like Vrindavan consciousness?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Nagana.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Right.